Hello, everybody. This is Douglas Crutch, your host for the Microsoft BizSpark show, and we're back again after another week of love and friendship and hacking in the startup community. I've got a lot of stuff to share with you today, and we're very, very excited because today we're talking to not one, but two founders, a CTO and a CEO of Vibes, which is an Azure-backed mobile wearable vibrator, which you may have heard about if you've been following a lot of the Silicon Valley news. In addition to that, I got a lot of great things to tell you about the stuff going on in the BizSpark community. Number one and foremost is that last night at TechCrunch Disrupt, our Microsoft developers team of about five Microsoft developer evangelists and technical evangelists took third place in the Disrupt hackathon with a little hack called AdFree, which basically allows site owners to get rid of advertisements on their websites and then lease out computing time through Azure for other people to use to do other computing projects, kind of introducing the computing hours or the computing cycle to a whole bunch of other swarm networks of tasks that need to be done. So it's a really amazing thing that's happened. If you want to follow up on it, you can visit the BizSpark blog, and I'll be tweeting out about it later on after the show. So let's get like really deep down into the dirty with Vibes. We have today from Singapore, Stephen Kick, who's the CTO of Vibes, and we have Dima Teo in Shenzhen, who is the CEO of Vibes, and we're going to bring them up on screen and introduce them and introduce Vibes and what it does. So let's start first with Dima. Dima, could you tell everybody a little bit about yourself and like how you got into this project? And maybe you'll start off with what is Vibes, so people who haven't heard about it, and I don't know who that would be because it's extremely popular right now. Tell them what Vibes does and how you got into the project.
Thank you, Douglas. My name is Dima. I'm the co-founder and the CEO of Vibes. So all it started when it was 4 years ago when I got married and I was in Boston and my wife was in Singapore. So I was looking for a long distance intimacy, and I couldn't find anything that was easy to use and not invasive. So that's where I designed Vibes. So Vibes is the world first wearable smart vibrator. So it's basically like a wearable that you can control using smartphone. And it, when we designed it initially, it was for long distance relationship couples. But right now, it can be used by single women as well.
Okay. And what about you, Stephen? So Stephen, did you join this project at the same time as Dima? And how did you get involved in the project?
Hi, my name is Steven. I met Dima, I think, about 7 years ago. And actually, Dima started with this project, and he started with a lot of research. And one night, actually, he rang me up and talked about this project. And at first, I was just laughing off because we haven't actually talked about this at all previously. Yeah. We were talking about a lot of some other ideas, but not like this.
Mm-hmm.
So
it was really sort of surprising to you that suddenly he wants to talk to you about
remote intimacy. Yeah.
Okay. What was he asking? You're the CTO, right? So what was he asking? A lot of technical questions. How did it happen?
Actually, Dima is also in technical background.
Okay.
So for this project, he is more on this the business side. So I actually take over on the technical stuff. Yeah.
Okay, but tell us more about your background. So how did you met 7 years ago? So in what context were you talking with each other?
How did you meet? Yeah, actually I'm from Malaysia. I've been in Singapore for the past 13 years, and I was working in the software industry, and I happened to meet Dima 7 years ago in our previous company. He was my ex-colleague.
Okay.
So ever since we were talking about doing something together, a lot of this crazy idea until 2011. Actually, I was decided to quit my day job for yet another so-called a traditional local business. And that's when Dima called me up and say, hell, why don't we just do something crazy on this tech startup? So yeah, here we are now, Vibes.
Okay, so that sounds to me like you're coming from Malaysia and Dima's coming from Singapore, and you're both coming from very mobile-centric countries, right? A lot of people using text, a lot of people using smartphones. We're going to get into the technical questions, but let me just get like kind of the cultural questions out of the way first. I've used to live in Hong Kong, and I visited Singapore several times. It seemed to me very surprising that of all of the apps that might come out of Singapore or Southeast Asia or this area of the world, it would be a sexual health app or something that actually helps with intimacy. What was it like in Singapore when you actually announced that you were doing this stuff? I mean, was it hard to market this thing? And was it sort of unknown for a while, or did people immediately want to work with this?
I guess it was a rough start at the beginning. So like when we started, we were working on two or three other projects idea, right? So but then we went to Founder Institute. It's an accelerator. Mm-hmm. So during that program, we tried to brought up the idea and to test whether how people accept it. But I think during the Founder Institute, people are really excited, but many of us like just laugh at it, right? Like they said, this is most brilliant idea, but at the same time, they said it is impossible for us to do that because like it's doing hardware, doing startup is crazy, but doing hardware is even much harder. Mm. And plus with the sex, it's like, it's just impossible.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, it's pretty hard. So I believe in the idea, my passion, because anyway, I'm doing it for my wife at the same time. So we kept working on it until like about 8 months later. We went for this startup competition. It's called Startup Asia in Singapore. So we went there on stage. Like even in the beginning, when we registered for the Startup Asia, like they want to do a refund of money to us. Like they said, like
they wanted to refund the money.
Yeah, they thought like this must be a prank until like they call us. Like I have to really explain that this is a real startup. So like then they give us a spot on the startup competition.
Is it because the hardware? I mean, it probably wasn't, but is it because the hardware was too hard to do, or it was because it was about sex and people thought it was a joke?
It was about sex. It's about joke.
Okay.
As we put it, a smart vibrator, this must be some kind of prank.
Right. Because I think I saw you quoted in a Forbes article where you said that you were going to kind of take a wait and see approach when it came to, I believe, seeking money from venture investors, right? Is this part of the reason why you launched it on Indiegogo?
Oh, the Indiegogo thing, yes. It is part of, I think it's pretty hard to, in general, it's pretty hard to raise money for a hardware startup. So and plus the sex is currently what we did is like because people are not sure, like we are in the gray area, like we market our product as sexual wellness product, but some people still see it's like, oh, this is from adult industry,
right?
So some of the investors told us like, oh, we want to see how it goes, like are you guys going to right direction, keep going on the sexual wellness product or will go to the adult industry. So rather than wait for that to happen, so we just raised money from Indiegogo, which we excited to raise like $130,000
US, which was, I think, $40,000 or so dollars more than what you thought you needed.
Oh, our initial goal pretty low, actually. It's like $15,000.
Oh, wow.
So the initial goal is basically we got a deal with one of the sex toys manufacturer here and one of the biggest. So they love our idea and the technology, and they said, okay, what you guys need to do is just basically like to pay us for the injection more, which is like they give us a lot of discount, which is compared to if we go to another company, and they even like have some deal with us, like they want to license our technology.
Hmm. So let me ask you both, I mean, I don't know if this is something for Steven or for Dima, but how do people respond when you start telling them that actually this is it's got the back end in Azure and you've used a lot of Visual Studio to put this together and you've really relied heavily on the Microsoft stack? And it seems like a lot of that stuff came together really well and it's very supportive of the way the app works. Does that come into your discussion with other developers? Do people ask you, you know, how did you do this? And are there any tips that you would recommend to people about how to base something like this that's sort of hardware specific? And integrate it with an Azure backend, or how do you work with the Microsoft software in this regard? And I don't know if you want to do that first, Steven, and then Dima, or how do you want to do that?
Yeah, actually, for me, my background is actually always this Microsoft centric since 10 years ago that I've been working as a web based developer. So it's the very nature that we choose this, and it happens that there's one conference that we get to know about this BizSparks program, and yeah, so we join in. And for this, for our, because we, for our intimacy, we have a chat client on our smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually utilize this Azure hosting web service to integrate it with the XMPP protocol. So and actually it works pretty well.
Okay, and so for people who are not, like for non-technical founders out there, can you explain what that is and why you would choose that direction in a kind of layman's terms? Or no, maybe you know it so well that, go ahead.
Okay, for actually, it took us quite some time to build this chat client because we are experienced in Microsoft stuff, but we actually not that experience with this open communication protocol. So for your question, for new to this stuff, I think the best is still get someone that knows about it, mm-hmm. and get some advice and get some guidance. Yeah, that's probably the shortest cut.
Okay.
Instead of for us to go and find our way out.
Okay, I see. So Dima, also, why were you choosing the Microsoft stuff? I mean, did you find it was easy to use? I think that's sort of like, that's something that I feel like a lot of people are asking all the time, you know, is Azure actually up to speed with a lot of developer expectations? Do you feel like it's easy to integrate your ideas with what's available?
Yeah, for me, I've been working with Microsoft product for like the past 15 years, maybe.
Okay.
So when I started about thinking about doing a tech startup, like there are so many options out there, like, and it sounds cool, like people say like doing Java, Ruby on Rails, but at the end of the day, for us as a startup founders, the most important thing is like you need to build your product. It's not about learn another technology, right?
Right.
So the most comfortable technology that I have is Microsoft product, Visual Studio, and I've been working that for like the past 10 years. And to be honest, I'm not so appreciative about Visual Studio, like, because I've been working for that for like the past 10 years of 15 years, and it sounds like, okay, it looks okay. So I really realized that how good Visual Studio after, like, when I started work with Androids, with Eclipse, and I have to build Android apps, then I start to curse and stress. It's like, I really have to bang my keyboard.
Yeah.
Because, like, I get used to like Visual Studio, like when you want to compile, you just press one button and,
yeah.
and that's it. And you see all the results very easily. But it's not the case with Eclipse. Like you have to learn a lot of things and you still have to do a lot of like command lines to do the compiling. And it's just too many syntax.
So you prefer working with the Visual Studio? And are you able to do that still? I mean, in the form that this app is in now, I'm just curious because I don't know how it's iterated since you started.
No, I just miss those good days. Like I have Visual Studio, like it just press one button, everything is being built up. So I miss a lot with Visual Studio. But on and off, sometimes I still work on the web together with Steven. And yeah, that's the best part. Like I'm still updating all the website with Steven.
So how is this app doing right now? Like what kind of a state is it in? I mean, you've raised money in Indiegogo. I don't know if you're able to use that money right away. But mm-hmm. what are the next things that you're doing with this app to make it, I guess, ready for mass consumption? Or is it already ready for that?
Currently we have what we call the beta apps for Androids. So it's kind of like we put everything, all our idea into one app, which is, it's kind of good functioning, but I think in terms of UX, we can improve it a lot. So the plan is we are going to separate like the 5e's Intimate and 5e's Fantasy app.
Okay.
So we are working on that.
So for people who don't understand, I guess you're talking about, maybe you can explain, is there's a part of this app where the vibrator is for personal use, in which it listens to, there's like an audio reading of 50 Shades of Grey, for example, and mm-hmm. the vibrator adjusts to whatever is being read through that particular passage.
Yes.
And then there's another part of it, which is that it's for remote intimacy between you and your partner.
Yes, correct.
Right.
Yep.
So do they both rely on the same, you know, the same use of Azure, or do they do completely different things? Is that, And is that why it's becoming complicated, or is it more about in the consumer's hands, like what it's able to do?
Yeah, I think it's more on the consumer perspective, which right. one is easier for them to understand. Because like when first time when we pitch, like this product can be for long distance, for couples and personal use, people get confused. Like, what do you mean? Like,
which yeah, one, so right?
Yeah, which one is rich? Yeah. So like, do you need like your couples to, your partner to read the audio fantasy for you, or how does it work? So now we have to separate it into two.
Okay.
So both are using Azure. For like for the audio fantasy, we have a marketplace for people to download, and yeah, then that's still connected to Azure. And at the same time, for the 5B's intimate, where people can send the vibration, we still use Azure as the backend sure. as well.
So I'm going to ask some questions that I'm really sort of personally curious about, because I haven't been in Asia for a long time. You know, and these questions are probably also for people who might be curious about either investing in Asia or trying to build something with Asia, maybe Asian developers, or build something for that market. Is it difficult right now to find money for anything that you're doing in Asia, regardless of if it's a sexual health app or a e-commerce app? Are there particular things that are extremely challenging about, say, the Singapore or the Chinese investment environment?
I guess the startup ecosystem is building, it's getting much better now, like compared to like the last 10 years. So I would say it's much easier right now to, for you to raise one, although the amount that you raise won't be so as much as in the US, but it's now it's much better, especially like the Singapore government is very active helping founders that want to do their own startup. Like you can get, like even for the young people, you can access to the grant like 50,000, and of course with Microsoft BizSpark, this is really helpful for me. Like at the beginning, I didn't know about Microsoft BizSpark. Like even like after I attended the seminar, it's like, are you sure like I can get all these things for free?
Yeah.
Like to ask for four times, like. And the guy says free. Like I kept asking, are you sure this is free?
Yeah, I mean, you get to, for those of you out there who aren't actually on it yet, you get to use all this stuff for about 3 years, and it's really roughly about $15,000 worth of software and development software. And there's a bunch of offers from other partners, like with Gust or with you name it, New Relic, anything that can actually help you make a better app or make a better investment or investor choice. All that stuff's available to you pretty much for free. Let me keep the focus on just sort of what it's like to work in Asia.
Oh, yeah.
Do you find that it's is your wife still in the US, by the way?
No, my wife's
okay. You're all back.
Yeah.
Okay. So the question I had was, do you feel like you need to be in Silicon Valley to actually get a lot of this work done? And do you sometimes come to Silicon Valley, or do either one of you come for either meetings with people or trying to find other people to work with?
I guess it depends on the product that you build for, right?
Yeah.
So for us, ultimately, Asia is not the best place, I would say, because like in terms of sex, people are still very much conservative. I mean, people are using it, but they just don't talk it in public.
Yeah.
So our product is meant for like, I think it's international.
So where are the bulk of your users from so far?
More than 50% are from the US.
Okay, wow.
30% from the Europe side and 30% from the Asia.
Okay.
Yeah.
So roughly most of it. And do you think, why do you think there's so many Americans basically using this? Is it because that you had all that publicity on the tech blogs?
Yeah, I think that definitely helps. And for our, part of our strategy, like we always focus in the US, because like, you know, like this kind of product, like people's over there is like much more open about this technology. At the same time, they are open about sex topics.
I got it. And so what about your team? How big is your team now? Is it just you and Steven?
Our team is five of us, like me, Steven, Hermione, she's at this TechCrunch Disrupt now.
Yeah.
And we have two other girls from Ireland, Angela and Mary.
I see. And is Hermione going to be talking about Vibes at TechCrunch Disrupt today or tomorrow?
She's there for hardware only, but hopefully she's being picked up to pitch on the stage.
Okay. We'll keep an eye on it, and we'll let you guys know.
Please vote for Hermione.
Yeah. let's hope. Please vote for Vives at the TechCrunch Disrupt. It's called Hardware Alley or Startup Alley?
Hardware Alley.
Okay. So we'll look for that and we'll tweet out about it to make sure people know. Stephen, back to you, if I can. Do you work on this full time, and how much of your time is really devoted to working on the technical aspects of building this app? I mean, I guess what I'm personally curious about is what are the technical challenges that come to somebody who's working on the back end of something like this as the thing becomes more popular and as consumers kind of demand a more quality app and they want to see some kind of performance out of it?
For me, actually, I would say about 80% of my time actually is put into this technical development stuff. And because we have quite a lot of stuff at the back end for the server, for the website, for the Android apps, for the iPhone apps, for web service, there are tons of it. So actually, I started with this website, of course, and slowly I go into the iPhone development. And in the beginning, actually, Dima is also working part of on the Android apps. So, but because of the business is growing, and I was forced to take over the Android apps as well. Yeah.
I got it. So let me ask also Dima a question that occurred to me, because I was asked this question once when I did I did a kind of workshop on social media marketing. When it comes to your marketing, do you rely solely on Hermione and other people to talk about it for you? Or are there any partners that you actually end up with? And I guess if there are partners, what is something that another startup founder should be mindful of if they're approaching partners to try to get a boost in the distribution of their app?
I guess for us, it's like because we are a small startup in the beginning and we were bootstrapping, so we did everything in-house. So even like reaching out to the media, we have to personally send emails to all the journalists for them to cover us. So mostly of the marketing right now, even until today, we are still doing in-house. I mean, we love to get a partner to do that, but it's just too expensive.
But is it hard to find a partner in Singapore or Asia to do it? Would you have to be looking out to the US? I'm just wondering who that would be. Would it be like a bookstore? Would it be like Babeland or one of these sort of like sexual health stores that are in the US, the markets, the chains?
Mm-hmm. So in terms of distributorship, we are in talk to a few sex toys distributor in the US, and we are kind of looking for the one that leans toward a sex positive movement.
Yeah.
So it's not like those dodgy old style sex toy shops. So I mean, even in Singapore, we have quite a few classy sex toy shops. So we are in talk with them. So I guess for now, our focus is just to manufacture it and get it to the hand of our backers first. So after that, then we will deal with all the distributor. And we get a lot of emails about the distributorship, but I guess we just want to have the first experience and learn from the customer what they think about our product.
Would you have done this? Would you have done the same thing again? Would you have done the next time? Would you do a sex app, or do you feel like maybe this kind of development of this kind of app put too many problems in front of you than say other apps might have? Go ahead.
There are plenty of problem because of the stigma about vibrators. Not many people know vibrators was invented by a doctor as a medical device.
Yeah.
But the thing is that we got a lot of questions, a lot of challenges about this sex, and because it's hardware. So I guess it's because with the passion, you can get over it, right? So so only with passion. Some people thought that we are doing this for money. No, actually not. It is not. It's really about passion. Like I said, the initial idea is it's for me and my wife to enjoy, right? So I make this for my wife. So now it's evolved a lot, but still I guess it's because of the passion. So that's why we can stick on it.
Yeah. So it sounds like to me that you're sort of you're trying to be kind of a visionary in Asia with this kind of app, and you're trying to say, you know, let's get the stigma out of the way, because, you know, I'm a little bit familiar with what's going on in Singapore and other countries, like conservative countries like Malaysia, Indonesia, not so much Thailand, but the areas around Thailand, right? Like Laos and places like that. There and yes. China, there are a lot of kind of fuzzy barriers now and sort of cultural stigmas around sex or personal health or even personal expression. And it sounds to me like you're trying to say, well, let's kind of push all that away and just see, look what is capable of happening when you use technology in a very human focused way.
Yep.
So yeah. What for either one of you, is there anything that you've learned in this experience where you feel like you're going to take it back and maybe in a couple of years or a couple of months make something else? Are you thinking about your next steps and kind of what you've learned and how would you make those next steps? Is there anything that kind of sticks out in your mind about that? I mean, you're not going to give up developing apps, are you?
No. I'm still
good.
I'm still enjoying it, like doing the programming stuff. So I don't know. We learn a lot of stuff, like I guess my takes from Singapore is that sometimes it's really hard for Asia startup to break into the US. If it's some apps, right? So apps is pretty easy. Everybody can do it. And sometimes on the US side, like they have a better funding and like they have a better media outreach. For me, I guess in terms of how to break into the US market is like having hardware, then it will be much more interesting because not everyone can do that, right? Although hardware development is much easier right now, but still, like, it is just a unique way of selling your product. So and I guess in the future, we have so many product social apps, right? At the end of the day, people now want to go back on like touch something like really physical. That's it, really interesting. Yeah.
So, and what about you, Stephen? Have you learned anything in your work on the, is this your first startup?
It's the first so typical tech startup, but previously was working on some other local businesses.
Okay. Yeah. You said about the small, but you were looking on a small local business, right? Some kind of yeah. So yeah. What have you learned?
Of course, I'm not going to give up on this apps development, and because of all this IT, I always believe that IT alone will not make a big difference unless it's actually applied on some other stuff, on some context to help to make the world better. So, of course, after this project or whatever, we are always looking for any possible problem or possible enhancement to try to use the IT way to solve it and make something. Yeah,
make something you can kind of use for a personal way. I mean, you really have done that. So it's been great to talk to you both. I know it's really early in Singapore and in China. You woke up early, especially for this. And for that, we definitely thank you. I thank you personally for doing that. And we will be tracking everything that you do. It's great to see people out in Asia kind of taking up the technology revolution in this way, this sort of like human revolution. And for people, Dima, who want to follow you online or get more information about what you're doing, how do they reach you?
They can follow my my Twitter, Dima_TIO, or they can also follow Twitter Vibes.
Vibes, V-I-B-E-A-S-E, right? Is that correct?
Yes, yep.
All right. Well, Dima, Stephen, thank you very much for spending your time with us, and we'll be cheering for you.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.